Are you or someone you know going through a storm? Today we're going to be talking about secrets to storm survival. You don't want to miss this.
Why live a normal life when you could be living the abundant life? Welcome to the Abundant Life Program with Ashley and Carly Terades.
Hello and welcome to Abundant Life. We're so glad you've joined us today in the lounge. My name's Ashley Terades and this is my wife Carly, and we've got a great lesson for you today. We're talking about how to survive a storm. Yes, maybe you're going through a storm, or maybe someone you know is going through a storm. Maybe you've just come out of a storm, or you feel like you're going into a storm. We're going to show you practical tips, according to the Word of God, of how to survive a storm, praise God. So what have we got, Carly?
Amen. Well, last time we began talking about the first secret of storm survival is understanding what the will of God is.
Amen.
Understanding that it's not God that brings the storms in our life, but that He's not the author of them, but that He can bring good out of them.
Amen. You know, some people believe that God's the author of storms, or maybe He allows storms in our life to teach us something. We told you last week, you know what? God is a good God. He only has good for you. Praise God. He doesn't do bad things. He only does good things. Now, He's so awesome, He can turn a bad situation around into good and use it for your advantage and even teach you from it. Mm-hmm. But He's not the author of those bad things, and He doesn't allow those bad things. God is good. He does good. The devil's bad. He does bad. And we live in a fallen world. Sometimes it's our own mistakes that cause problems.
Right.
Sometimes it's our own bad decisions that cause problems. But it's not God. So God's not the author of the storms in our life.
And even if we cause the storm ourselves, then God is bigger than that. He is well able to deliver us. And we don't have to be caught up in condemnation.
Amen. So once we know that, we know how to believe, because we know God's will. It's not God's will for us to live in a storm.
Amen. Amen. You know, this time we're going to be talking about one of the secrets of storm survival is to set our hearts to seek the Lord.
That's good.
And you know, in the middle of a crisis sometimes, when the storm is raging and those winds and the waves are seeming pretty loud, and the hail and the lightning are beating down on the roof, and everything around us is in turmoil and chaos, it can be hard to hear God in those moments.
Right.
And so it's important that we develop an attitude of seeking God, decide to set our hearts to seek God even before the storm comes. But if the first time that we seek God is in the storm, He's big enough. He can handle that too, right?
That's right.
But we're going to look at a character in the Bible here, a story of Jehoshaphat. Now, this is in 2 Chronicles. So turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, this Jehoshaphat was a king, and he followed after his father. He was in the Old Testament, there's plenty of kings that are bad and plenty that are good. They either seem to be really bad or really good. Not many middle ground, right? But Jehoshaphat was a good king, and he followed after his father in the ways of the Lord. And so from childhood, Jehoshaphat was raised to seek the Lord. And that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
It was part of his family culture. You know, we can develop a family culture as well.
Amen.
You know, even in our children. And, you know, just we're raising teenagers. Pray for us, right?
It's easier. I've heard it's easier to raise the dead than to raise teenagers. But right now,
Raise teenagers from the bed, for sure.
It's easy to raise the dead.
Yeah,
we have three teenagers at the moment, all at home. So,
your
prayer requests are very much. But we love our kids. They're great.
We are. Awesome. And you know, we haven't done things perfectly by long means. But one thing I'm hoping that we're instilling in our teenagers and our children is to seek God in the middle of tribulation.
Amen.
It's when things aren't going right in our life that our relationship with the Lord is even more important. But we don't develop that relationship in the storm. You know, we need to develop that before the storm even comes,
right.
Or it needs to be a lifestyle. And so Jehoshaphat was raised in a household that sought the Lord. And this is really important. He said, he came in this situation in chapter 20, and he has lots of battles, okay? But this one particular one got him worried. In verse 3, it says, then Jehoshaphat was fearful and set himself to seek the Lord. So a challenge came, a storm came in his life, and he was feeling afraid. And I think that's a really natural reaction, isn't it? When a challenge comes, when we feel completely out of our depth, to get our knees a little bit wobbly, right?
Whatever,
isn't that just a human reaction?
Yeah, whatever the storm is, maybe a storm is relational, maybe it's a relationship issue, maybe it's a financial issue. When there's lack, maybe it's a physical issue, a healing issue, maybe you have pain in your body or you've got a bad report from the doctor. Whatever it is, whatever that storm is or that challenge is or that bad report is, it's very natural. to get into fear. It's very natural to be afraid and think, how's this going to turn out? Because our natural human side of us, if you like, the flesh side of us, can easily get into fear because we think, if this challenge comes to pass all the way through, then we know we're in trouble. We're going to, you know, it's going to be a bad deal. So fear, so Jehoshaphat here had fear come on him when he saw that it wasn't looking good.
But he decided to seek the Lord in the middle of that fear. And, you know, just in 2 Chronicles 17, just a few chapters before, in verse 6, it says, his heart was raised up for the ways of the Lord. So that it was a natural reaction when he felt afraid, when he felt challenged, his default position was to seek God. That's how he'd set him up. And actually, as a king, he was unusual because he taught his people also the word of God. It says this in chapter 17, verse 9. It says, they taught the people in Judah, they used the book of the law, and they traveled. They traveled about all of the cities of Judah and taught all of the people. And, you know, we need to be raising up in our families as well the word of God and putting it first place in our life. That is one of the secrets to surviving the storm, to placing a value upon the scriptures, upon the word of God. It is like, you know, it says, he sent his word and healed us. It is life to all of our flesh. Amen. It is our peace. In Romans 8, verse 6, it says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace, but to be carnally minded is death. In other words, our relationship with the Lord and deciding to set our heart to seek the Lord, that doesn't happen by accident.
No,
priority is something that we can do. We can choose to do. No one can do that for us.
It's our decision.
It's
our decision to choose life, to choose our relationship with God. You know, there's a great story of Mary and Martha. I believe it's Luke 12. And basically, Mary sat at Jesus' feet. In fact, in that story, it says that they both started out sitting at Jesus' feet. It says that Mary also sat at Jesus' feet. So Mary and Martha were sisters. They both started out sat at Jesus' feet. But what happened was is Martha saw a need in her house. She saw these people. It wasn't quite a storm, but she got distracted because she saw a need. And she got up to serve the people and to help the people. And then she got mad at her sister. She got mad at Jesus. Said, Jesus, come on, tell my sister to stop slacking off and help me, you know, fix some dinner here for all these people. But Jesus said to Martha, he said, Martha, Martha, very merciful. He said, Martha, Martha, he said, Mary's chosen the one thing that is needed and it won't be taken away from her. I'm telling you, seeking God is the one thing that will never be taken away from you. It's the one thing that's going to get you through storms. It's going to get you through everything. Seeking God, having your relationship with God should be number one priority in your life. It should be above anything else in your life. Your priority should be God first, then your family, and then way down, you know, other things, but God first. And God, let me tell you this as well. Your relationship with God isn't church. Again, our church is very important, going to church and being a part of a church, and we believe in the local church, but that's not God. God, your relationship with God is separate from church. Your relationship with God is separate from your ministry. Some people get confused and they put their ministry above their family. That's not godly. God first, your relationship with God, your one-on-one personal relationship with God. He desires an intimate relationship with you. And then your family, and then can be ministry and church and things like that. But your relationship with God is the number one priority in your life. That's how it should be. It should be first place. And our relationship with God is in the Word of God. It's in our communication with God. It's in our prayer. However you commune with God and get intimate with God, that should be your number one priority. And that we should be doing that before the storm.
Yeah.
And that's what God desires for us. He wants that intimate relationship with us. He wants that marriage relationship with us so that when a storm comes, we're close to Him. We know how to deal with it. We're already built up, if you like, in
His
Word.
Foundation.
Amen.
You know, this is in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. It says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show them whom he is like. He is like a man who built a house and dug deep. We need to dig deep in our relationship with the Lord and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood arose and the storm beat vehemently against the house, it could not shake it because it was founded on the rock. When we build our life, our value system, our hope upon the rock of God's word, that is unshakable.
Amen.
That doesn't mean the storms aren't going to come, but our house isn't going to crumble. Look at this. But he who hears the word and does not obey it is like a man who built his house upon the ground without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. If we want to survive the storm, it comes back to, where is our foundation?
That's good. And you know, they dug down and built their house on the foundation before the storm came. And this is really important. You know, this is something we need to be doing in everyday life. We need to be digging down in our relationship with God. And I know there's so many things vying for our attention. There's so many things I met someone the other day. They said, I haven't got time to spend 15 minutes a day with God. I said, that's a lie. They said, what? I said, well, you shower every day, right? You spend 15 minutes at least showering every day, hopefully. So, you know, you could spend 15 minutes a day. And I'm not saying you've got to spend 15 minutes a day. I'm not going to tell you how long to spend with God. But I'm telling you, if you make it a priority, if you put value on your relationship with God, you're going to find time to spend with God. You're going to find time to spend in His Word. You're going to find time to commune with God and build that intimate relationship with God. And in this story Carly just told, they dug down and built their foundations before the storm came. Can you imagine if the storm came and then they started to try and dig their foundations? That wouldn't work. So if you're having your foundations on anything other than the Word of God, anything other than Jesus, then it's going to be like building a house on sand. It's going to be like building a house without a foundation. One little storm and it's going to fall over. Your life is going to be in trouble through one little storm. And I've seen this. Some people, they haven't got their life built on the rock. They haven't got their life built on the Word of God. And one little storm comes along and then everything falls apart.
Right. And let's go back to Jehoshaphat a minute, because we know that he believed the Word of God. He followed the Lord. He set his face to seek God. He even taught his people to seek God. He was the first traveling minister in that sense, right? They traveled around and taught the Word of God, okay? But this is back in 2 Chronicles 20, but he was dealing with this challenge. These armies had come against him, and he was in a sticky position. He was out of his depth. He'd gotten, he felt fearful, like many of us can relate to. And in verse 12, it says, "For we have not strength enough to stand before this great army, but that is coming against us, and we do not know what we should do. But our eyes are on you." Mm. Have any of you ever felt that way? That the storm coming against you, that the army, that the mountain in front of you is so huge, you just don't know what way to turn. Jehoshaphat here was saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. There's only one thing to do, and that's to have my eyes on you.
Amen. That's good.
And I tell you, when we put our eyes on Jesus, I'm just thinking about Peter. You know, when he stepped out of the boat into those stormy waters, he was the only man that we know that walked on the water. The whole time he kept his eyes focused on the Lord, focused on Jesus, he walked above the circumstances. The storm was still raging around him, the wind and the waves. You know, that wasn't a mill pond that he stepped out onto. It wasn't like a sheet of glass with perfectly smooth waters. In my children's Bible when I was growing up, you know, we had pictures in there. Right. And it showed it, and there's a rainbow in the sky, and the birds were tweeting, and there's Peter just strolling along this mill pond of water.
Because it's easier to walk on a calm, calm lake than on a stormy lake. Yeah, it's both impossible. So, but you're saying, you know, even more so in a storm. But
even more so, when he stepped out the boat, there was wind and waves. It was the middle of a storm. But the whole time he kept his eyes focused on the Lord. He was walking above the circumstances. You know what happens though? He got a little ways out there and he started to think, what am I doing? I'm walking on the water. I shouldn't be able to do this, right? No man should be able to do this. And for a minute, he took his eyes off Jesus. He started looking around at the wind and the waves and thought, uh-oh, these are pretty big. This is a crazy idea, right? Yeah. And the minute he took his eyes off Jesus, he started to sink because he started to take his focus away from the source. Even Jehoshaphat, in this moment, even with this great army in front of him, he's like, I do not know what I'm doing. I do not feel equipped. I do not feel prepared. I do not feel like we can possibly win this. Everything is against us. Maybe you've received a really bad report. Maybe you've got some challenges in your life that have been around so long they're like part of the family, okay? You've just lived with them. Mm-hmm. Maybe you feel completely overwhelmed and completely hopeless. Jehoshaphat was like that. And he said, we do not know what to do, but we are going to choose to put our eyes on you.
Amen.
And let's look and see what happened with this story. You know, he focused, and not only is he focused, he's got all these people watching him.
Right.
Think about this for a minute. He's the king. He's got however many people in his kingdom that are depending upon him for direction. And sometimes in leadership, that can be a really lonely position.
Right.
When we feel like we're out there, and not only is it our neck on the line, it's everyone standing behind us.
Yep.
Maybe we're the leader of our family. Maybe you're a single parent. Maybe you're the father in the family, and everyone's looking to you like you are the one that's got to give direction, and you don't know what to do. You're out of your depth. Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
And in times like that, you know, you're talking about Peter, walking on the water. You know, he got distracted by the wind and the waves. And at these times, in these times of storms, in these times of challenges, it can be such a challenge to keep our eyes on the Lord, to keep our eyes focused on God's word, because all the things around us are speaking to us, whether it's lack, poverty, whether it's sickness and pain, whether it's relational problems, whether it's anxiety, whatever it is, all those things are speaking to us, are calling out for our attention. Mm-hmm. And if we're not careful, we can put our attention on those things and start focusing on the lack, or start focusing on the pain, or start focusing on the dysfunction. And we take our eyes off the word of God. We take our eyes off of Jesus. I'm telling you, when you least feel like keeping your eyes on Jesus, it's the most important time to keep your eyes on Jesus. When everything else is screaming around you for your attention, just ignore it. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and don't let those other things, you know, Jesus put it this way, take no thought for these things around you. Take no thought for these things. Keep your focus on Jesus. Let's see what happened to Jehoshaphat when he did that.
And he said, in verse 15, he says, pay attention. This is how he led the people. Pay attention, all Judah and all those dwelling in Jerusalem. And King Jehoshaphat said, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear nor be dismayed because of this great army, for the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's.
Amen.
And we need to understand that when we seek the Lord, when we keep our eyes focused on him, what happens is we invite God into our situation. Yeah. Suddenly, it's not even our battle anymore, right? God is fighting for us. God is on our side. And you know what? God calls us more than conquerors.
Amen.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Romans 8:37, you know, Paul talks about this in Romans 8:37. He says, you know, in all these things, all these trials, all these things, we are more than conquerors, not just conquerors, but more than conquerors. That means Jesus already did it. Jesus paid the price. Jesus already conquered all these things. And now us, through our relationship with him, get all the rewards, get all the spoils. That makes us more than conquerors. So you're keeping your eyes on the Lord. It's going to make you more than a conqueror. And sometimes the situation might not change right away. You know, with Peter walking on the water, the situation didn't change right away. The wind and the waves were still raging. The storm may still be raging, but you'll change on the inside. When you've put your focus on God, when you trust in the Lord, you're going to change on the inside. Things are going to change, and you can have joy and peace even in the midst of a storm. It's amazing. God can do that for you.
Yeah. But you know, he had to choose. Mm-hmm. He had to choose not to count. He could have taken a stock check. Let's just count up the army. Let's just see how bad the situation really is.
That's what we do, right? Whatever the report is, we look at, well, how bad is this? How broke are we? Or how bad is this doctor's report? Let me go online and let me search and look
become
at the search
an expert.
Engine. Yeah, and find out how bad this disease is. Wow, most people only live a few years with this disease. Or let's find out how broke we really are. Wow, we're going to be bankrupt in a few months. And we end up, you know, forecasting, looking how bad it is.
And then the prophets focus. Doom come around.
Put our focus on the bad things. Oh yeah, my aunt had this problem and she died. And oh yeah, that's like my friend so and so. He tried to start a business and he went broke and lost everything. And before you know it, you're focusing on the problem. And whatever we focus on gets magnified.
That's
if we focus on the problem, it's going to get magnified. If we focus on the pain and the lack or whatever it is, it's going to get magnified and become bigger in our life, seemingly bigger to us in our life. Our perspective of it is going to get bigger. If we focus on God, focus on our relationship with God, focus on God's promises, focus on God's word, those things are going to get bigger in our life. Mm-hmm. God's presence is going to get bigger in our life, and we're going to be more able to overcome.
Amen. And that's really important. You know, when we're going through a storm, not only are we setting our hearts to seek the Lord and keeping our eyes on him, we need to surround ourselves with people that are doing likewise.
Amen.
You know, we like Ashley's saying, we don't want to be focusing on the lack and focusing on the sickness and becoming an expert in everything that's wrong. But because if we do, what happens is we will attract people to ourselves like ourselves, right? We become magnets. If we're going through a challenge, if we're going through a storm, maybe you're believing God for a healing, then make sure that you're surrounding yourselves with people that will believe with you, right? There is wisdom in the multitude of counselors. Sometimes we need some Jesus with skin on.
Amen.
You know, if we're... We were a part of a church, and this is going back a long time now, but when our daughter was really sick and we were believing for healing, we were starting to get some revelation on healing, and it was pretty soon into that we realized that the church that we were in weren't really on the same page with that.
Right.
And that it was almost like a toxic environment. And we realized that we had to actually get up and move.
Right.
We need to relocate. It wasn't that, you know, we didn't love the people that were around. It's just that when we're in a storm, we need to surround ourselves with people that are going to support us, and we're going in the same direction.
Be in faith. People that can be in faith. People that know how to believe God with you. And that doesn't mean a lot of people. Sometimes people go for a storm and they'll call a prayer line and they want 100 people to pray. There's no more power in 100 people praying than 2 people praying. The point is, you need to get people around you with faith. You need, everyone needs a few good friends.
Four crazy friends
who are going to get in faith.
That'll tear the roof off with
you. Tear the roof off for you. Yeah, tear the roof down for you and low you down. But it's true. We need some friends that are going to believe God, that know how to believe God. And you need to find people like that know it, and people that have been through some storms as well. It's amazing when we're in a storm, people have advice for us that have never been through that storm or never been through a storm like that, and they tell us all what you got to do, and they haven't even been through it themselves.
It's super encouraging to meet someone that's on the other side of a similar storm that you're going through.
That survived. Amen. And so surround yourself with people that, you know, I love to surround myself with people that are spiritually more advanced than me, spiritually elders, if you like, because they can give me advice, they can speak into my life. In fact, I'll tell you this, if you haven't got people around you that can speak into your life, that are more mature than you, doesn't that necessarily mean age more mature? It means spiritually more mature, more life experience and more spiritually mature. That's a dangerous place to be. I want to have people around me that can speak into my life, that can help me, that can encourage me, that I can turn to when I need advice on these things. That's a place to be. And if you say, actually, I've got no one like that, well, seek them, ask the Lord for them, and then seek them. Go to places that you're going to find people like that. Go to a life-giving church that believes the truth. Go to a church that believes the truth. And some people say, well, I just want to go to my local church. We love the local church. Hopefully you have a local church that teaches the truth. But if you don't, you know, a church alive is worth the drive.
Amen.
So, you know, it's once a week. Make a drive and find a community of people that believe like you, that believe in faith, that can help you get through storms.
Amen. And, you know, it's just wisdom to be part of a flock, right? There is safety to be part of a flock. Isaiah 26:3-4 in the Message. Let's just read this for a minute. I like how the Message puts this. It says, people with their minds set on you, you keep completely whole, steady on their feet because they keep at it and they don't quit. Depend on God and keep at it because in the Lord you will have a sure thing. In the middle of a crisis, in the middle of a storm, the secret to storm survival is to keep our minds set upon the Lord and to surround ourselves with people that are believing likewise, right?
Yeah.
But even if you don't have people around you, you're only responsible for your own heart, your own heart, right? We can keep our mind stayed upon the Lord. And, you know, we've mentioned this before in other programs, but that's not a one-time deal.
Right. It's going to take some effort on our part.
It's going to take some effort.
To keep your mind stayed in the Lord, you're responsible for your thoughts. You know, 2 Corinthians 10 talks about taking every thought captive. When you have a thought that's contrary to the Word of God, when you have a thought that's not lining up to the Word of God, it's your responsibility to take that thought captive and make it obedient to Christ Jesus. That means if you're in a storm, you're going to have a lot of thoughts that are negative. You're going to have a lot of thoughts that are going to come against the Word of God and say, this isn't going to work out, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. It's your responsibility not to meditate on those thoughts. And you might have to do this 100 times a day. I've been there when we've been in storms and I've had these thoughts come to me, and it's one after another, how it's not going to work, or how we're going to fail, or how this is going to work out well. And it's up to me to take those thoughts captive and refuse to meditate on them. And we can't just stop thinking. So what we do is we replace those thoughts with positive thoughts. You know, Philippians 4, if you read Philippians 4, verse 4 all the way through to verse 8, shows you how to do this. It gives you instructions on how to do this. It talks about rejoicing. It talks about making your request known to God with thanksgiving. And in Philippians 4, 8, it talks about meditate on these things. These are the things we need to think on. Things of good report, things of virtue, things that are praiseworthy, you know, things that are going to bring life and not death. You think on those things, meditate on those things, and that'll push out those negative thoughts. They'll push out the bad reports that you keep thinking on. But it's up to us to take those thoughts captive. No one else can do it for us. It's our mind, and we have to decide what we think on. You know, Jesus put it this way, be careful how you hear. He said, you know, be careful how you hear, guard your heart. And it's not sin to have that thought, but if you meditate on that thought and take it into your heart, it can lead you to end up believing the bad report.
Right.
And your faith will end up working in reverse. And instead of putting your faith on the good report and seeing good results, you'll put your faith in the fear that the devil's trying to give you and end up seeing the bad results. So keeping your mind stayed on the Lord is a challenge sometimes.
It is.
It's fighting the good fight of faith. It's actually making a conscious effort to keep your thoughts stayed on the Lord.
It is. And, you know, within our relationship with the Lord, so I know some people are watching this thinking, well, you know, I live in a rural community, or I'm completely isolated in some way. I don't have a church family around me. My family don't believe the word of God. They're not even born again. I have no one. Well, I want to encourage you with this, because in our relationship with the Lord is everything that we need to survive any storm that life can bring us. Amen. It's nothing added, nothing missing, yeah. Nothing broken, right? We have everything we're ever going to need in our relationship with Jesus. Greater is He who's in us than he that's in the world.
Amen.
Let's look, this is 2 Peter. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Mm-hmm. That's everything. Everything that we're ever going to need to live successful and happy and healthy lives. Amen. Through, and it comes through the knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and virtue, and by which we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, so that through these things you might become partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. In other words, everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness comes through the knowledge of Jesus. Mm-hmm. That word knowledge isn't just talking like a casual relationship. This is talking like a marriage kind of intimate relationship. Through our intimate relationship with Jesus Christ is every bit of blessing, every power, every anointing, every provision, every healing, everything that we're going to need for life comes through that relationship with Jesus. And that's available to you today.
Amen. So the first secret of storm survival is setting your mind on the Lord, right?
Yep, setting your heart to seek the Lord, keeping your eyes focused on Jesus.
Seeking the Lord, amen, seeking the Lord. Well, we're out of time, so I want to pray for you before we let you go. Father God, I thank you for everyone watching and listening to this show. I thank you, Lord, you're right there with them in that storm. And I thank you, Lord, they can seek you and you are there with them. I thank you, Lord, you long to be seeked. You long for that intimate relationship with us. And Lord, today we turn our eyes to you and we choose to seek you and put you first place in our life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Well, thanks for being with us. We'll be back real soon. Until next time, remember, don't just live a normal life when you could be living the abundant life. We'll see you next time.
To order your copy of this teaching, visit our website, teredezministries.com.
We hope you've enjoyed today's program. We've been talking about how to survive a storm. Many of you are going through challenges, you're going through storms, and you're just trying to hang on to get to the other side. Well, there are some secrets to storm survival, and we just hope that you take advantage of this series, and we want to make available to you the whole series on how to survive a storm. We think it's going to be a real asset. It's going to bring peace and victory in your life. So go online and get yours today.
Download your free copy of Ashley and Carly's teaching notes at our website, teredezministries.com.
Just like Jesus gave you healing, Jesus also gave you prosperity in your finances. So whatever your situation is, you can receive the prosperity of the Lord.
Now, because Jesus came not just to give us life, but to give us life more abundantly.
Amen.
Their heart is for people, to set people free with this abundant life.
Oh, Ashley and Carly, I think they're amazing. I think they have a great ministry. I think they're inspired. I think God's really working in their life.
Through the many outreaches of Teredez Ministries, people are being saved, healed, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and are receiving financial miracles.
Oh, it's wonderful. We're supporters. We started supporting them last year. And since we've done that, we have been so blessed. Our house is paid off. Our cars are paid off. We are debt-free.
Teredez Ministries is dedicated to empowering believers in the promises of God. Join Ashley and Carly in spreading the good news of abundance and freedom. Become a partner today. Why live a normal life when you could be living the abundant life? Join us next time for the Abundant Life program with Ashley and Carly Teredez.